Welcome to Calvary Chapel La Mirada Women's Retreat 2007. The theme of our retreat is Seasons, which is taken from Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 9. The Lord is so faithful to speak to us in His Word and at our retreats where many lives are changed and hearts are renewed. Before you listen to these teachings, meditate on this passage of Scripture and allow your heart to prepare for what the Lord wants to teach you as you consider the seasons we encounter in our lives. God bless you.
Father, we want to thank you so much, Lord, as Lisa said, that it's just a blessing that we can come here, that we can go anywhere. We can be taking a shower, Lord. We could be driving in our car, Lord, anywhere, Lord, just listening to Christian music, Lord, and praising you and having that lifestyle of worship, Lord. And we just want to thank you for that, God. And Lord, tonight, as the theme is seasons, Lord, and you have many of the ladies here tonight, you know the seasons that they're going through tonight, Lord, whether it's just an exciting time in their life, Lord, or whether it's a time that it's really hard. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that tonight that you would speak through me, that your word would go forth with the power of the Spirit of God, not what I say, but what you want to say, Lord. And I pray that the hearts of all the ladies would be open and receptive to hear. And we ask that also that you would change all of our lives here tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I was telling my wife, this is my first time to a ladies' retreat. I guess there's a season for everything, right? And a time for everything. Let's turn in our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let's go ahead and pick it up and read verses 1 through 9. And Solomon, as he's writing, he says this: to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? As I was studying this passage today, I was thinking about doing an introductory study of the book of Ecclesiastes, but as the Lord was leading me and directing me in the preparation time tonight, it's going to be more of a topical study on seasons. And my desire is that I hope that I communicate to you through these 5 points that we will be going over, is that if we are doing these 5 points, when you are going through different seasons in your life, whether it's good, of course, or whether it's bad or it seems bad in our life, that you will be able to make it through it. The word time in the book of Ecclesiastes alone is used over 43 times. 43 times just in the book of Ecclesiastes alone. And there's a time for everything. I remember about 2 years ago, my wife, Christy, she had a time of major pain in her life. I know that many of you probably remember that. And that was a time where she was radically in pain. There was days where she couldn't even get out of bed, or if she could, it was just really hard on her. That was a season that she went through, that both of us, that our whole family went through. But now she's out of that season. She looks great. Lord's blessed her. And I'm truly blessed at what God's doing in my life and in my wife's life. But that season was really tough. And in fact, I don't know if any of the ladies know this. I of course, my wife does. I was even thinking about stepping out of the ministry at that time because I was so tired and so out of it that I thought maybe I should just get a different job and work 9 to 5 so I can spend all the rest of my time with my wife. But got some counsel, and the person said, if you're going to get removed, let God do it. And I thank God that I listened to that, and so I'm able to still be here today. And I thank the Lord for that. You remember Esther? The book of Esther. Esther's people were going to be wiped out. They were going to be destroyed. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther. He said this, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And tonight, you ladies are here for a reason. You may have thought that you're here because you might want to get away from your husbands for a weekend, you know. And hey, you need to. It's a good thing. But God has you here for a reason. He has you here for such a time as this. He wants you to be refreshed. He wants you to spend time with Him. He wants you to, when you leave this weekend, to have drawn so close to Him and have grown spiritually. I found it very interesting as I was studying this tonight. There's a passage in Jeremiah. You don't have to turn there, but in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 7 says this, "Even the stork in the sky knows her seasons, and the turtle dove and the swift and the thrush observe the time of their migration." So Jeremiah says the stork, an animal, a bird, knows her seasons. But then he goes on to say this, "But my people do not know the ordinance of the Lord." So we have here that there's animals that are oftentimes smarter than us when it comes to knowing their seasons. When it's wintertime, where do the birds fly? They fly south for the winter. They know. It's in them. Not only does God fix the standard and withhold and dispense all of the satisfaction in our lives, but He also appoints seasons and times in your life. Tonight you might be going through something pretty radical. Goodness, I don't know. You know. It might be a death of a loved one. It might be your marriage. It might be your children have gone astray. Whatever it might be, God has allowed this to take place. I'm not saying God caused it, but God has allowed seasons in your life. And those seemingly dark times are the times that we should really be drawing close to the Lord. Earthly pursuits are unprofitable when they are considered our chief good, when that is all that we are pursuing after, is pursuit in and of itself. Jesus said, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and in the end he loses his own soul?" So if we are going to have a profitable life, that when we have good times, we're praising God and we're rejoicing, or when we're having bad times, we're still praising and rejoicing the Lord, the following points that we're going to go over tonight, I believe if we put them into practice, will help us to continue to praise the Lord and to rejoice no matter what season you are going through. Turn with me to Psalm 62, verse 5. And the first point is this, a time of meditation. In Psalm 62, let's read together verse 5. The psalmist says this, "My soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him." So when we think about meditating upon the Lord, the first requirement is a season of time. And what do I mean by that? Well, we need to have a length of meditation, a time of meditating upon the Lord and upon His Word. If you want to have a profitable life, if I want to have a profitable life, we absolutely need to be aware of God's presence in our life wherever we are. And we should be meditating about Him, on Him, and meditating upon the Word of God. Meditation is, we can't just rush right into it, read a few verses, close our Bible, and go off to dinner. I mean, you can do that, but that's not what the Lord wants. He wants us to sit before Him and spend time with Him. Ladies, if your husband constantly had his guy friends around 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and he's constantly with them, don't you think that'd be kind of a bummer on for you? Wouldn't that really bum you out? Or if you're talking to your husband, but he's preoccupied with the television, the football game, or music, or whatever it is. And that's kind of rude, and it kind of hurts your feelings, I'm sure. I've done that to my wife before. My point is this. How do you think the Lord feels when we're not meditating upon Him, or if we do, it's more in the aspect of we're doing our Bible study while we're watching TV, or we're reading our Bible as we're driving, or we're distracted. So we got to make sure that when we're spending time with the Lord, it really is spending time with Him. I remember when, I think it was about 2 years after I started walking with the Lord, maybe three, I wanted to memorize a lot of scripture. And so I memorized the book of Philippians and the book of 2 Timothy and Jude. I'm saying that because when I did that, and I was just out at the grocery store or sitting down watching TV or at work, it didn't matter what I was doing, scripture was just permeating my soul, permeating my mind. I was so heavenly minded at that time. It was so cool. I haven't quoted those books in quite some time. But my point is, when I memorized those scriptures, those books, that when things happened in my life, or Christy's life, or my family's life, God spoke to me and I was able to hear it. And those passages that I remember just came up instantly from the Holy Spirit. So meditating upon the Word of God is so, so important. And if we want to make sure that we make it through the times, the hard times, the hard seasons of life, yes, we're still all here. We do make it through it, but we want to make it through it victoriously. The number one thing that we need to do is make sure that we are spending time with the Lord. I've gone to a senior pastor's conference twice. I've gone to assistant pastor's conferences. I've gone to many youth workers' conferences. And there's a lot of things that they teach us. But I always, always walk away with this one simple thing. And that is, my time with the Lord, the time that I spend with Jesus Christ by myself, is going to be, when I'm in the ministry, when I'm just living, my life is going to overflow because of the time that I'm spending with the Lord. So if you want to have a profitable life, that's really, really important. Turn to Psalm 1. Now, this is really cool. Let's look at the importance of meditation. Have you ladies ever planted flowers or, you know, something in the backyard or some sort of plant and it died, you know? Or it didn't bear fruit, and you know, it was kind of a bummer. You know, my flowers or plants that I planted for Christy out in front of our house, they're dead. You know, it's wintertime, they just died. And I put a lot of work into those things. It's a bummer that they're dead. Let's look at Psalm 1, pick it up at verse 1. The psalmist says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." So there's the sinner's spiral, the downward spiral. There's the walking, standing, and then sitting. You remember Peter when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. It shows in the Gospels that he was following right with Jesus when he was arrested? No. He was following behind Jesus. He was a large distance away from Jesus. And then he went into the courtyard and he was standing around, and a girl says, "Hey, I know you. Aren't you that guy that's around Jesus? Aren't you one of his disciples?" "No way, I'm not." And then he ends up doing what? Sitting. He ends up sitting around the campfire, warming his hands. So there's a spiral downward, and it all started by following Jesus at a distance. And if we're not meditating upon the Word of God, that can take place in our lives. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Ladies, do you delight in the law of the Lord? Do you delight in God's Word? And in his law, he what? Meditates day and night. Here's what's going to take place as we are meditating upon the Word of God. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its what? Season. Whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So if you want to, again, if you want to have a prosperous life, good prosperous time, and victory through these so-called dark times or dark seasons in our life, the psalmist says right here, if you're meditating upon the Word of God, if you're delighting in the Word of God, you're going to be like a tree planted by rivers of water, and you're going to bring forth fruit in its season. It's not going to happen right away, but it's going to happen at an appointed season. That's the theme of your a retreat this week, in seasons. And meditating upon the Word of God will definitely bring forth that fruit in the right time and in the right season. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Would you ladies agree that our world today, our society, is like a hurry, hurry, rush, rush? Big time. I mean, when I went out to Germany, one of the things that I really, really liked about Germany is that they just seemed kicked back. They weren't rush, 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 rush all the time. Stores would close at 6 o'clock, and so you'd have to make sure your grocery shopping was done. My point is they weren't rushed. Of course, that's the way it is out here. We got drive-thrus. We're eating as we're driving, and so forth. Maybe putting on your makeup while you're driving in a rush, rush world. Well, I'm convinced that the person who has learned, it's a learning process, it's not going to happen overnight, who has learned to meditate upon the Word of God will be able to have that steady spirit and be able to have the victory as you're going through these hard times. How many of you in here are parents or grandparents? Okay, quite a few. I am too. I wanted to take this and apply it to our lives as parents, passing it off on to our children. And that is this. One of the most important lessons that we as parents can teach our children is the practical importance of prayer and meditation. And if we do that, we are going to give them a lifelong compass. They are going to be prospering all the days of their life. And I know that's what I want my children to be doing. I want my kids to be able to learn to listen to God. And that's why we're here at 1 Samuel 3. Let's pick it up at verse 1. It says, then the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Now look at this next part of the verse. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. The word of God was very rare. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here I am. So he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again, the third time. Then he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Two things. I want my kids to be able to learn how to hear the voice of God speaking in their life, in their hearts. Also, the other aspect is, as I mentioned, we are living in a society that's rush, 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 hurry, rush. I mean, it's just a blazing society. And if we do not come back and get out of that rushiness, that's a word, and spend time with the Lord, then I could guarantee, and the reason why I can guarantee is because it's happened to me, is that you will start to get distant from the Lord. And then when that season comes and it hits you, it's going to be radical. Didn't Jesus say, remember when there was a boy who was demon-possessed and the disciples were trying to cast out the demon, and the boy's father came to Jesus and said, "Your disciples were trying to cast out the demon, but they didn't succeed." And the disciples asked Jesus, "Why? What happened? What were we doing wrong?" And Jesus said, "This kind only comes out by prayer and fasting." And so Jesus didn't mean, okay, what we're going to do is, while your boy is here demon-possessed, I'm going to go over there for a couple hours, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to fast, and then I'll come back and cast out the demon. That's not the point. That's not what he's doing. He's talking about that when you have a prayer life, when you're meditating upon the Word of God, when you are fasting, that when that season comes, that you're going to be ready. You're going to be spiritually equipped to have victory through that season. The other day, we had a real big tragedy take place on Lambert. A 14-year-old boy, from what I understand, was coming home from school, and he was hit by a semi, and the truck driver did not know it, and he was still driving down the street, dragging the boy on the ground. I couldn't imagine being a parent and going through something like that. This week, the school, Laurel School, that my kids go to, sent out a letter to all of the students there, bringing it home to the parents, saying if your child needs counseling because of what they heard, or even if they saw that, they're going to offer counseling, as well as they're sending out their condolences to the family and relatives. And I didn't see that letter until last night. I got home from helping Christy do some things, and I got home and I wanted to clean the house, and there was some paper on the floor underneath the table, and I picked it up and I started reading it, and I just started weeping, and I just started crying and praying for the relatives and the parents of the boy who was killed. My point is this. My son Ryan walks in. He's asking me, "Dad, what are you doing?" And he sees me crying. He sees me praying. I noticed that he was quiet. And then I looked over and he was on his knees with his hands closed. He had his head bowed and he must have been praying. And I hope. Here's my point. As I mentioned, I want my kids to have that attitude of prayer and to be able to hear the voice of God. And I believe the best way that we could teach them is by example. I use that example that I gave you because it wasn't something I said, "Okay, guys, after dinner, go get your Bibles, and at 6:15, we're going to have a Bible study." Have you guys ever done that? And next thing you know, 6:15 rolls around, the phone's ringing, pipe leaks or something. It just throws off the Bible study. when we just spend time with them and just through circumstances take place and we are being spiritual before them, they see that. And so meditating upon the Word of God. Let's turn to Psalm 46. Here's the second point. A time of stillness. Look at Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So if we're really going to meditate upon the Lord, stillness is a key. It's a key aspect. Stillness brings us to the point where we can concentrate. It's difficult to fix our thoughts upon God as we're barreling down the freeway, or maybe you're driving, putting your makeup on, or you're with your noisy friends, or you're watching TV as you're trying to do your Bible study, or whatever it is. Those are the times that the Lord is saying, I want to take you away. I want you to spend time with me. Not time with me and the TV, but time with Him alone. Ladies, don't you want your husband to spend time with you and you alone? I mean, my wife does. My wife, you know, wants me to spend time with her and her alone. She reminds me many times. So, and we dated a lot before we had kids. And so my point is, how do you think the Lord feels when we're putting together our Bible study or doing our devotion and we're watching TV or doing something like that? So we need to make sure that we're really spending the time with the Lord. What ends up happening is we get so distracted with many things. Turn to Luke chapter 10. And we're going to look at somebody who was distracted and somebody else who was not distracted. Again, second point is a time of stillness. And if we want to meditate upon the Word of God so we can have victory through difficult seasons in our life, there needs to be a time of stillness. Look at Luke chapter 10, pick it up with me at verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered, speaking of Jesus, a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is, look at that word, needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. The Lord wants that time with you. There is somebody that does want to take that time away from you. That's Satan. He does not want you to spend time with the Lord. Have you ever noticed when you go to do your devotions, either a phone rings or your kid falls on the ground and he's got a owie on the knee or whatever. Something happens and you get distracted. And so we see here that Martha was distracted with much serving. And for those of you who are in the ministry, well, actually, we all are in the ministry, so to speak. We all have the ministry of reconciliation. We're supposed to be going out and giving out the Word of God and reconciling people to God through Jesus Christ. But if you specifically have a ministry and God's blessed you with that, I know this by experience. What can end up happening is you're serving the Lord and God's blessing the ministry, and then you start to get busy, and then you get more busy and more busy, and next thing you know, you're starting to serve, but yet your time with the Lord is less. And I know this by experience. What ends up happening, this happens to me, I start to get grumpy. I start to get, I worry over things. I get distracted over things. The psalmist says, in your presence, the joy of the Lord is in your presence. You want to have joy? Spend time with the Lord. The thing that I had to do was go back and make sure that I spend time with the Lord. So maybe tonight, the Lord's speaking to your heart that you're busy, busy, busy. And you're also going through a season of, you know, difficult circumstances in your life, but yet it's really hard for you. Examine your heart. Examine your devotional life. Are you spending time with the Lord? I can't express in words how important that is. It is so, so important. Turn to Mark chapter 4. Again, why are we going to Mark chapter 4? Well, the second point is a time of stillness. And we all have times when we have distractions or storms of life come our way, or we, you know, purposely have distractions by just maybe, you know, watching too much TV or, you know, whatever it is. We're just really not spending time with God. And so, what I want to show you here, and I thought this was really cool. In Mark chapter 4, pick it up with me at verse 35. It says, on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, Jesus said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern, and what was he doing? Asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be what? Still. We need to have a time of stillness. I use this passage as to take the application of that there, in this passage, the disciples are struggling to keep the boat afloat through a radical storm. And they're, of course, they want to stay alive. But Jesus, he calms the storm and he says, be still. Peace, be still. For us, we may have many distractions. And the Lord is telling us, be still. He wants to get rid of those distractions in your life to make sure that you are spending time with him. As Lisa said, this weekend is a time of spending time with the Lord, going back and having those devotions and really drawing close to the Lord. And I would encourage you to do that. It's so important. So you go back to your home and you're spiritually refreshed. When we become still before the Lord, all those circumstances start to ebb away and we're able to have that victory through it. Let's turn to Mark chapter 1, since we're already in Mark's gospel, and we're going to look at the third point, which is a time of seclusion. Would you agree with me that everybody, including married people, need to have time alone? Don't you need time away from your husband? Yeah? I need time away from Christy sometimes. Not in a bad sense, but there's just times where, you know, as a human being, I like to be alone and I like to spend time with the Lord or just, you know, do what I'm going to do. And it's a good thing. And there's times when we need to be alone. But look at Mark chapter 1, and let's pick it up at verse 35. It says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. But he said, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. So before Jesus was out preaching, what did he do in the morning? He had a time of seclusion. He spent time with the Lord. And you think about it, he is Lord. He's God. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He has created you. He's the one who holds the universe together. But yet, he is depending upon his Father. He is spending time with his Father. So if God, in human form, spent time, purposely got up before daylight and went to spend time with his Father, how much more, really, how much more do we need to do that and to spend time with the Lord? Matthew 14 says this along the same lines. After he sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. Luke 5 says Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Luke also records in chapter 9, and it happened that while he was praying alone, the disciples were with him, and he questioned them, saying, "Who do the people say that I am?" God wants you to be alone with him. He wants you to spend time with him. Big time. It is so important. As I mentioned earlier, doesn't it bother you if you're talking to somebody and they're really not giving you their full attention? They're preoccupied with something. You know, I'll tell you something that I've done before, and I don't do this anymore. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but in the office. Now, I love computers, and I love just doing administrative stuff. And when people would call, and they would want counsel about something, or to talk about the Lord or something, there were times where, you know, I'd have the phone like this, and I'd still be, you know, working away. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. All right. And I could tell that they knew that I wasn't really listening to them. So I don't do that anymore. And again, how do you think the Lord feels when we're not really spending time with him? How many of you in here, actually, you are a teacher? You teach the Bible. You have a Bible study, or raise your hands. Okay. One of the things that I've learned is that there's a difference between studying and spending time with the Lord too. I could real easily put together a study and have my points and have it all nice and neat and outlined and all my scripture references. But there's been times where I've done that and I didn't spend time with the Lord. I spent time with my computer and my Bible program. And oftentimes we can walk away thinking because I'm serving the Lord, or I'm putting together a 3-point outline, or I'm studying for my ladies' ministry Bible study, or whatever it is, you really need to examine your heart to see if you're really spending time with God or spending time with your outline. That's just a little side note for those of you who actually put together studies. Let's look at our fourth point. Hang in there, we're almost done. Turn to Psalm 30, verse 15. Now this one is pretty interesting. In Psalm 30, verse 15, our fourth point is a time of silence. Now we've already talked about a time of being still, but this one is a little different, a time of silence. And what do I mean by that? Well, look at Psalm 30, verse 15. And that says this. Oh, I got the wrong psalm. There is no 15. Well, see, I spent time with my outline. No. It talks about, I actually have it written here. It actually talks about having a time of stillness, being still before the Lord, but not in the aspects of being still and knowing that he is God. But here's the point I want to pull out of that. He doesn't want us to do all the talking. Have you ever been on the phone with somebody and that person is just talking and talking and talking and you really can't get a word in? And you're trying to get something in, but you can't. So there's times when we go to the Lord in prayer and we're just talking, talking, talking. We're throwing up our grocery list. We're asking for this, asking for that, praying for this, praying for that. And we're not actually being quiet and letting the Lord speak to our hearts. So there needs to be a time of silence as we are actually spending time with the Lord. Not just praying and talking, but there's a time when we actually want to make sure that we're listening to God, that we're allowing Him to speak to us as we are spending time with Him. Let's look at our next point. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. How many of you, when you're studying the Bible or you're praying or just reading the Bible, that you feel like that really nothing's happening? Nothing's really happening. You read a passage in the morning or at night, or you read two chapters, and you're like, I really didn't get anything out of that. I don't know, wasn't really much there. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 27. Look what Paul says. This next point is a time of self-control. A time of self-control. Paul says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Again, as we meditate on the Word of God, or we're spending time with Him, or we read our devotion, there's been times in my life as I just felt like really nothing's really happening. Or through a period of time that you think, I really don't see any change in my life. It's like, I don't remember what I had for dinner last night, but I know that it sustained me to be where I am today. The same thing with reading the Word of God and spending time with the Lord. You may think that you're not really getting much out of that time when you're with the Lord, but you are. He's transforming you into the image of His Son. And that is so important. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34 says this, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Paul thought it was very necessary to keep his body under control, under subjection, under discipline. And tonight, maybe you have an area in your life that you're not keeping your body under control. You know what that is, if you are. It might be that you need to be disciplined in actually setting aside time to spend with the Lord. Whatever it might be. It might be eating or whatever. Paul says that he learned to bring his body into subjection. The reason why I say this and go to this point in 1 Corinthians 9 is that, again, as we have seasons, good seasons, bad seasons, that if we are disciplined, keeping our body under subjection, we're going to have victory through those times. I can guarantee it. I know by experience. I can totally guarantee it. We need to try and take care of ourselves. To put it bluntly, we need to try and, get rest, eat right, exercise, and do those things. And also, there might be sin, there might be something, or there might be some sort of attraction that is keeping you, that you're not bringing your body under subjection. And Paul says that we need to do that. Our last point is found in James chapter 4. And that is a time of submission. If we are going to hear Jesus Christ adequately in our minds, in our hearts, Our hearts must be totally surrendered to Him. Yielding is very important. It's vital for listening to Him and what He has to say to us. I remember Wednesday night, Dave Walston, during the altar prayer, during that time of prayer, one of the things that he prayed about was that, and this has been on his heart for a couple weeks too, we've talked about it, and that is, we know that Jesus is Lord, and we want Him to be Lord over our lives, or do we really? You might say, yes, Lord, I want You to be the Lord over my life. Do you really, really mean that? Because there's a price to pay for that. Because if He's Lord, that means He has every right to tell you what to do, where to go, what not to do. And we can't be like those three people that Jesus talked about in Luke's gospel where He said, come and follow Me. And the guy said, Lord, let me first. That doesn't make sense. Lord, let me first. If we really, really want Jesus Christ to be Lord over our lives, it's going to pay a price. We're going to have to do what we just talked about, these points. And lastly, as we're talking about a time of submission, do you really, search your heart, do you really want to submit to God? Because if you do, that's a good thing, and we all should. But I can guarantee you, all of us have something or some things that we're going to have to give up. I'm not perfect, that's for sure. That's Christy. I have areas in my life that I need work on. And if I really want God to be the Lord over my life, there's areas that I really need to put aside. What about you? Are there areas that you really need to put aside? You say you want God to be Lord over your life, but is He really? So it's a time of submission. This weekend, as you ladies are here, I pray that you would discover the rewards of spending time alone with God, thinking about Him, adoring Him, praising Him, being alone with Him. He's the one who's going to meet your needs. He is the one that is the bread of life who satisfies our needs. And so again, as Lisa said this, earlier, really want you to spend time with the Lord this weekend. Take that. If you don't have a devotional life, if you really aren't disciplined in that, this is the weekend to do it. This is the weekend to start really getting into the Word of God and setting a pace, setting a course so you can continue to do that in the future. So all these points that we went over tonight, I believe that if we are putting into practice these points, the seasons that we go through, especially the difficult seasons or the difficult times, we're going to make it through it. And we will be able to make it through it victoriously and also with joy, having that peace that surpasses all understanding. I mean, we do make it through hard times, but I don't want to do it through a time of grumbling and griping and complaining. But I want to do it as a time is when I'm rejoicing. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Father, thank You so much, Lord, that You care for us, that You, Lord, You want to spend time with us, Lord. That just really blows my mind, God, that You, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, You want to spend time with me. You want to spend time with each lady in this room, Lord. I pray, God, that all of us here tonight, that we would put into practice these points that we went over, Lord, as you've put on the hearts of the ladies, that the theme this year is seasons, Lord. We're all going to go through different seasons, and at different times these seasons are going to come. But Lord, we want to have victory, God, over these seasons, Lord, and these difficult times. So Lord, please sow your word into our heart and help us to apply it to our lives, that we may be walking and being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And I also want to say, with your eyes closed, can't go away without doing this. And that is, if there is anybody here that, first of all, you know, we've been talking about spending time with the Lord and spending time with Jesus Christ and reading His Word and having a prayer life, and so we can have victory over in these difficult seasons. But maybe you don't even know Jesus Christ in the first place. Maybe a friend brought you here. Praise the Lord. But tonight, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ and you want to do so tonight, would you raise your hand, and I would love to pray for you. Is there anybody here that needs to do that? I see your hand over here. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody else? And I want to make sure that this young lady over here gets prayer. I see your hand in the back over here. Praise the Lord. Secondly, maybe you're going through a season that's really difficult. I want to, and I'm sure that the ladies would agree, and the pastor's wives, is that please come to them and pray with them, and that they would help you and give you godly counsel through this time. So as we close in prayer, I do want to pray for those two young ladies that raised their hand to receive Jesus Christ. And also, if you need prayer tonight, please go to the Lord, go to one of the pastor's wives, or go to one of your friends sitting next to you, and just go before the Lord. Father, again, thank you that you have truly blessed us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord God, for these two women, Lord, who have raised their hand, Lord, and they're saying, God, that they want to receive Jesus Christ in their life the first time, God, and that they would possess eternal life. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for that. We know that the angels are rejoicing right now. Again, Lord, thank you for this evening. Bless these women, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good weekend.